Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com.
Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast.
Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your Android, iPhone, Kindle, or MP3 player. This week on Out Now with Aaron and Abe, we're talking Deadpool.
That sounds disgusting.
He's going to give it to you.
Wait a minute, I forgot my introduction.
We are now recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and as always, this is...
Abe, hola!
Out Now is a film podcast where Abe and I discuss new movies weekly. We cover some various movie topics, jump into a mostly spoiler-free review, then jump back into other fun movie topics. This is episode 229, 229.
I feel as though 229 it should be a milestone for us. I'm not really sure why, but I think I was looking at the iTunes charts, and I was like, well, we've done 300 some odd... So, you know.
Yeah, including the bonus episodes. Yeah, we're well above 300.
It feels like a milestone.
Yeah, but, yeah, 229, I guess, is the milestone. I mean, to be fair, Abe, in like, what, like 5 weeks, it'll be March, whatever, and that'll be our official fifth anniversary of the show.
Yeah,
So that'll be like episode like 334.
Kids grow up fast today.
334 seems like a milestone, right? regardless, for 229, we are discussing... For 229. Did you watch Brooklyn 229 last week? With Andre Bauer, was great. for 229, we were discussing Deadpool, the latest superhero, the first superhero movie of 2016, one of the biggest openings for any superhero movie that's not an Avengers film. Like it has a whopping like $135 million this weekend, not counting President's Day. It's going to be like $150 million. That's a bigger domestic weekend total in the first weekend than any other X-Men movie. That's ridiculous. But, we'll get there. Yeah, we're talking Deadpool. And joining us this week to talk Deadpool, we have first-time guest from Cinema Blend. He's got a grip on his unicorn. It's Eric Eisenberg.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Very good. Excited to Pretty be firm here. Grip you have there, Eric. Pretty firm.
I am super excited to talk Deadpool. I feel like I've been talking, like, writing about Deadpool for, like, the last 2 weeks just nonstop, but I can't get enough of it. I just can't stop thinking and talking about this movie. It's great. I love it.
Glad to have you on. Yeah.
It'd
be wanted to have you on the podcast for a while. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
we've been friends for quite a bit, and it's like, I never got you on the podcast.
I mean, it's weird that you've been friends since you guys were five, but you haven't been on the show.
Yeah, you're here now. We're gonna talk about Deadpool, among other things. But yeah, let's get some show notes stuff out of the way. Abe, we got a new iTunes review.
I know. I read it.
Yeah.
After you texted me.
this one is from Superfly2. And it says, been listening for a couple years, and I think this podcast is a must-go for movie reviews. Every time I listen, I feel like I walk away with a better understanding of the film and very informative opinions. Keep up the great work, guys. Love the games, too. It's one star. I'm kidding. It says five stars. But it's great. I like that we get, like, been listening for a couple years, and then we get it's like, okay, finally, we bridge that gap. We're like, you know what? They've been doing this thing for a couple years now. I'm going to get on iTunes and finally get that iTunes review in there.
Sure, yeah. Superfly, thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you very much. And anyone can go onto iTunes and give us an iTunes review rating. It does help out our show. It helps pump us up on the iTunes charts. And, you know, it makes us feel good about doing this thing. You know,
as long as you try and reach Kelly Clarkson, you know, on the charts.
On her podcast, yeah.
Her American Idol recap podcast?
It's from iTunes to Kelly. That's the podcast.
You guys might have the vocals to, like, I don't know. You might beat her on the record charts as well. It's an entire point.
People do know that.
Kelly doesn't know what's coming. She doesn't know.
Also, good to hear about the games, by the way. You know, we do the game just assuming that everyone's tuned out at that point. But apparently people listen to that, so there we go. But cool.
One day we're just going to have an episode where it's all games.
Yeah, exactly. That'll be episode 333.
That'd be nice. Yeah, I'll do that.
All games. very cool. What else? New commentary is coming. We have one in mind, and let's just say with Gods of Egypt coming out, there's a lot of things we could do with that one. So we'll just throw that one out there for now. But yes, we do a commentary track every month. We're happy to do them. They're fun. You guys love the commentary tracks, and we do have one in mind. It should have all the old pros on for that upcoming episode. And what else? Speaking of all the coming episodes, Oscar shows are coming. We do have the Oscars. What's fun about the Oscars is that Mark Hoban always I always have him on for the Oscar show. Yet he always reaches out to me as if like I'm not going to ask him for the Oscars. He's always like, he's like, hey, can I be on the Oscar show?
He's to make sure. He's going to make sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is where I'm going to announce it. I'm not going to have Mark Hoban
on
for the Oscars. No, I'm going to have him on. Yeah. No, but yeah, no, it's fun to do those for sure. Predict the Oscars and, you know, see how wrong we are or how wrong Abe is and how right the rest of us mostly are.
I go with my gut. I'm like the president from 8 years ago. Go with my gut.
Exactly. But yeah, that should be fun. And speaking of fun Oscar competitions, whatnot, contest, we will have a contest at some point again. We have a lot of cool prizes we can be giving away, so why not? So we're going to do that at some point as well. And yeah, I think that's enough show notes stuff. Let's get to know everybody. Each week we ask each other a couple questions, set the tone for the podcast, and better get to know everybody. Abe, why don't you start something off?
Cool. Is there another person that you feel could have played Deadpool in this role?
Ooh.
Is there another person?
I will put out a pitch for that one. If not only because I actually was thinking about this, when there was that kind of nebulous time when the studio hadn't officially committed to Ryan Reynolds, or at least publicly, like apparently he was always going to be there. But one thought that I actually had that I would have kind of liked to see as a community fan is I think Joel McHale could have honestly.
McHale, huh?
All right. Yeah. I think I saw him audition for it in the Devil
Wears Prada 2?
Yeah, The Devil Wears Prada 2. No, what's that one with Eric Bana and Edgar Ramirez?
Oh, and the Scott Derrickson movie. Yeah. Deliver Us From Evil.
Deliver Us From Evil. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That because Joel McHale's in that movie as like wide-cracking sidekick to Eric Bana, yeah, who has knives. So it's like, all right.
Yeah, sure. And, yeah, he kind of gets a little get down. Like, yeah, no, I like Joel McHale a lot, and he seems to be at a weird, I guess he's kind of at a kind of strange position where he's very similar to where Ryan Reynolds was before now.
Yeah. Very quippy. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, so I don't know. Like, I think that ultimately, kind of, Ryan Reynolds was born to play this role, as cliched as that is. But yeah, I think that I would have liked to see Joel McHale take that on.
Cool.
I'm trying to think of other. I mean, I generally say like Michael Fassbender and Tilda Swinton can do anything. So
Tilda Swinton would be fascinating.
They want the truth, Eddie.
Thank you, Hail Caesar. Who else could play? Yeah, no.
Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito. Is...
Yeah. Hey, honestly, if you want to go to, like, the multiverse, like, find every single kind of Deadpool, I'm sure that there is a Deadpool similar to Danny DeVito. There is a DeVito pool.
Well, now that Hugh Jackman's hanging up the claws, Danny DeVito can finally play Wolverine, the role he was going to play.
Well, you know, they are the same height.
I was about to say, they finally have the appropriately tall...
Well, if this was the 80s, it'd be Bob Hoskins, for sure.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, no, I think that he was tried out for the role, wasn't he? Or they wanted him for the role.
That was like a fan casting.
Oh, fan casting, okay.
Yeah. R.I.P. Bob Hoskins, by the way.
R.I.P. Indeed.
Sure.
That's good.
Last movie might have been, what was that movie that he was in with Chris Hemsworth?
With Chris Hemsworth?
Huntsman?
Was Bob Hoskins?
Oh, yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was like the blind...
he was one of the dwarves, yeah.
Yeah, blind dwarf.
That probably was the last Bob Hoskins movie. Unless there was some other like random like English gangster movie he was in again.
No,
it was Snow White and the Huntsman. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
good call. We talked about that movie and then we forgot about it.
We did. But they're gonna have another one.
We have Huntsman 2, The Hunt is On.
Coming
on.
Just the Huntsman. The Huntsman.
Yeah.
No Snow White this time.
Yeah. All right. I have a question.
Yeah.
What's a superhero team up you want to see on film?
Across the comic book,
just pretend there's no legal issues or anything. What's a super?
Well, I mean, there's also a DC Marvel, so those two blended together.
Just
as well.
Say, whatever, no issues. What do you want?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Batman, which they did in the comic book recently, and I think that'd be pretty cool to see on the screen.
Yeah,
yeah,
I'd watch that.
See?
I mean, you could also, I mean, like also Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Daredevil, simply because of their
Michelangelo and he would have a field day.
One's the spoof of the other. Yeah,
right. Exactly. I think they'd have...
And then Raphael would hate him because he's kind of taking Raphael's spot with April.
Yeah, very good point.
need to write this right now.
I like not to keep things, I mean, ultimately too Deadpool focused, but I guess that's why I'm here. But honestly, like, I would kill to see a Deadpool Spider-Man movie simply because their relationship from the comics is ridiculous. And like the love that Deadpool has for Spider-Man is so pure and lovely. And it's great. And honestly, like Joe Kelly and Ed McGuinness are right now teaming up on a new Deadpool and Spider-Man team-up miniseries, and it is fantastic. Like, those two characters have such amazing chemistry together that, that's definitely something I would love to see.
Watching the movie, you can definitely see that they had to replace any Spider-Man reference with Wolverine. That seemed like kind of the go-to for them, based off obvious studio stuff.
Yeah.
But, all right, cool. That's how you play.
Hello, everybody.
All right. Moving on now. Let's get down to quickies.
Yep.
Each weekend out now, we have one movie we'd like to talk about. We don't have the movies that we see during the week. So, Dan, cookies.
Yep.
I got that. I got
pretty good.
It. Yeah, I said it. I said it all.
Mile a minute.
All the words. It's always fun for new guests. You're like, what the hell was that? All right.
The host of the mouth.
Yeah. I think I got it.
Abe. Abe, yeah. Are there any other movies that you've seen this week?
I watched World of Tomorrow on Netflix.
Oh. All right.
It is really cute, really good, really sad, and really interesting.
Yes.
And it's only like 22 minutes or
less,
something.
16.
16 minutes. Yeah. And yeah, it kind of makes you think. But it's really, it's a neat concept of this little girl who's probably 4.
Yeah, something like that.
And she answers a telephone. And on the other end is a future her. And she's basically just trying to get this memory so that she can feel happy about her life in the future. And it's a really cool way to talk about living in the now, you know, enjoy the time now that you are on Earth, because it is the envy of the dead, apparently. So, yeah, it's pretty neat.
I believe I've watched it like 5 times at this point. Eric, wow. Have you seen the World Tomorrow Oscar nominated short?
No, but that sounds great. Like, yeah. I love those kind of science fiction stories. That's very
and
great.
It's super simply drawn. It's almost as if they just drew it on a piece of paper with stick figures.
Yeah, it's Don Hertzfeldt's style, the animator Don Hertzfeldt, his style is to kind of take things that are they're seemingly less complicated than they actually are, based off you know the kind of the characters, but mixed with the backgrounds and everything going on. It you know there's a lot of deeper meaning and whatnot there. But yeah, World Tomorrow is the Oscar-nominated short. It's Oscar-nominated animated short. It's on Netflix right now. It's very easy to watch, and I'd certainly recommend it to anybody that has 16 minutes to spare in their life. Yeah.
Very doable.
Yeah, Eric, have you seen any other movies this week?
Actually, the movie it's not out yet. It's coming out in a couple weeks, but because it made the festival rounds last year, I feel like it's totally appropriate to talk about, which is The Witch.
Oh yeah.
Which has been, I mean, it's been getting huge amounts of buzz simply because, again, it played at a ton of different festivals last year. It's fantastic. I feel like it's almost guaranteed to be my favorite horror movie of the year. It's by this writer director named Robert Eggers. It is completely like devoted to its like 17th century period setting, down to all the dialogue. But it's just this really incredible folklore New England tale about this family who kind of gets cast out of their own society and kind of get plagued upon by this witch who lives in the woods nearby. And it is like incredibly psychologically terrifying. It doesn't rely on jump scares to kind of mess with you, but it, at the same time, like, it has these scenes where you're looking at an image and your brain has to kind of take a second to take in everything that you're seeing. And when you do take it all in, you want to piss your pants. Like, it's really something else. It is highly recommended. I think it's coming out in a couple weeks.
I think it's like next week, I believe.
February 19th. So yeah, actually, you guys will be able to see it on Friday. So yes, everyone go see The Witch when you have that capability.
Yeah, I also had a chance to see The Witch this past week, and yeah, I completely agree. I think it really sticks the landing, I guess I'll say, by the way. Like, not spoiling anything. Yes. I think I'll say
it's a Carrie Russell.
Yeah,
no, exactly. Wait, I'm sorry.
The what?
that Olympian who broke her ankle but stuck the landing.
Not
Carrie Strug.
Yeah.
Not Carrie Russell. That's not the person. That's not the Olympian that stuck the landing. We might even talk about that one on this podcast. Dave might go in more into it. Next week's a little bit of a only so many things coming out next week.
A rumble ramble.
But yeah, we'll figure it out. But let's see. I saw the other two releases of the week. One
good
is
on you. I seriously applaud you because I was not sure if I wanted to see Zoolander 2 or How to Be Single.
Yeah.
I saw Zoolander 2 also.
Yeah, Zoolander 2 is definitely a movie that people made. you expect jokes from these things, right, guys? Like I was a big fan of Anchorman 2. I did not like Dumb and Dumber 2.
Yeah.
This set definitely falls in the Dumb and Dumber 2 category of like, hey, let's make a sequel to that thing that made money once.
It's such an endemic, it's a systemic problem within comedy sequels, and I don't understand how it keeps happening. But the idea that every single comedy sequel just feels the need to reference all of the jokes from the first movie, who wants to hear that? Like, why do you think that those jokes are specifically what makes Zoolander Zoolander? That's not what makes Zoolander Zoolander. Like, just pump something new into it. And I just, that whole process is something that has been, I mean, mystifying me for years. And yeah, it just keeps up in that tradition, sadly.
Do you feel as though this might catch on cult status, like the first one a year from now, 2 years from
I
now?
I don't see it. I mean, no one saw this movie, Abe. I mean, like, I don't know
That's
why.
True. And
like,
it got terrible reviews.
It got terrible
from
reviews, and it did
including,
poorly.
Including audience members.
Well, it's not, because it's not like Dumb and Dumber 2 as bad as that movie is. It didn't make money. Like, people wanted to see it. Like, Zoolander 2, like it didn't make anything. Like, it made, like, what, like 20, maybe, at most? This for the whole President's Day weekend?
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, it was kind of, it was not really the greatest move to open it up against Deadpool. To begin with,
yeah, but... I can agree, but at the same time, it's like you'd think there'd be more audience curiosity of a Zoolander 2. If they really had the curiosity, they'd see it, right?
Like, yeah, that's true.
Like I don't know what that audience is. We're like, you know what, you missed Zoolander 2 in theaters, but heard nothing but great things. Because who are they hearing great things from? Like,
right? Yeah.
I will say this: Will Ferrell steps in the third act, and he's hilarious. Like he
sure.
like
in the so, third act.
Yes, he doesn't. It takes a while for him to get there. But like that. But suddenly, like the movie became like somewhat funny. I was like, oh, there's jokes in this now. Like
right, exactly.
That was my exact reaction. It's like, oh, this now has jokes in it. Good.
Well, it's funny that he's also the only one who doesn't like really repeat many jokes from the previous
it
movie.
Seems, yeah, he's the only one that
to everyone else.
He's the one that seems to have grown in terms of like what his character was the first time around to what this character like as much as growth as there could be in a Zoolander movie. It seems like he's the one that actually like did something to evolve the character in some way.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, the rest of it's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So many like tosses of things at the wall and nothing sticking. But,
And just like just incessant cameos that are
cameos. So many cameos. Like cameos aren't funny if it's just like, hey, here's this person, and I'm saying their whole name to make sure you know who they are. That's not that's not funny. Like that's not okay.
Joshua Duhamel
did not make a cameo in Zoolander 2.
Yeah, exactly.
Guess that he doesn't make a cameo.
Although you could pretty much name almost anyone except Josh Duhamel, apparently, and then they're probably in the movie. Just
the one name. Right.
Here's a fun flashback to the first movie, by the way. Fred Durst, popular name when Zoolander 1 came out.
Not only
Fred Durst
like,
shows up in this movie.
He was in the first Zoolander.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
I actually rewatched. I mean, I rewatched Zoolander before I saw Zoolander 2, which ultimately turned out to be
probably
like,
was probably
made
it
the
worst
possible. But I realized that the runway that he walks down, the runway celebrities are Fred Durst.
Yeah.
Lil' Kim and Gary Shandling of all people. It's like, yeah, it's just super A-listers now that we're
the hottest stars of today. Back in right.
Super relevant. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they're all
Lance Bass too. I can't forget Lance Bass also.
L Bass?
Lance Bass, yeah.
So is this a never see movie, Aaron?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's not what
we
you
rarely give those out.
There's nothing to get out of it.
Yeah.
Also saw How to Be Single, whatever, it's a movie. Cast chemistry's fine, movie's forgettable, there you go. That's all I got.
Sure.
All right, that's that on quickies.
Yep. All
right, let's move on now. Let's get to trailers. Last week, even though we clearly
we talked about the Super Bowl, we knew who won.
We fooled you all by claiming that we recorded this post Super Bowl. we're taking the
got him.
Taking the curtain off right now and letting you know we actually recorded earlier in the day
prior
before Super
to
Bowl.
The Super Bowl. Yeah. That's how magic radio works.
Yeah, I know you're all stunned by this, but now that we have seen the Super Bowl, we got a ton of trailers during it.
Did.
So we're just going to kind of recap a lot of those trailers that we saw. And I want to start out with the one that we saw nothing from and didn't even know the title for until the Super Bowl, which is Jason Bourne, the fifth entry in the Bourne franchise where we've dropped the Bourne blank. And just
I was going to say, can we start by talking about how bad that title is?
Yeah, like, I'm a little surprised.
It's I mean, why? Just why at this point do you just abandon that part and like you just leave it and just make it so generic and just following the... like Jack Reacher, John Carter, like what's the point of this? This isn't interesting. Like it's...
they're not taking a hint from Chris Cornell's Casino Royale song, You Know My Name. That's for
yeah,
sure.
Right. And the thing is, that's the other thing. He's not even Jason Bourne anymore. He's David Webb. Like that was established in the third movie. Like he's not Jason Bourne. So it's not even like you can have at the end of John Carter, you show a John Carter of Mars. It's like he turns into that character. No, he's been Jason Bourne turning into David Webb. Call the movie David Webb if you're going to go.
Maybe that's why the title's that clever.
Right.
where he's becoming
They were
Jason.
Thinking about it so hard.
Which is why it should have been called Jason Bourne Again. That would that's puntastic right there. That would have
with an ellipses in there too. Jason Bourne, ellipses, again.
Right. Or like a really faint parenthesis. But yeah, regardless, we do have Jason Bourne coming out, and I am a huge fan of the Bourne series. Yes. Legacy unfortunately happened, and while there's some stuff in there that's good, it's mostly a bad movie. But the Bourne trilogy, I'm a huge fan of that. I think it's one of the best action trilogies like ever. I think it's really solid. So we're getting a fifth one, and Paul Greengrass is back, so I mean there's good stuff right there. And Jason Bourne's tearing it up through Vegas and bare knuckle boxing, like
Brad
Pitt and Snatch or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, he loves dags.
Personally, title aside, I'm looking forward to this movie quite a bit.
Same here.
Yeah, same. I'm right there. Like, the action looks fantastic. And I mean, I guess the only weird thing is that after the third movie, there was enough conclusion that you probably could have just ended it there. So you have to give me a reason why he's back. But outside of that, it looks fantastic. I'm very, very excited.
I mean, yeah, for sure. And I think the optimistic side of me, which is the majority of my side here, I think it's Matt Damon and Paul Greengrass are both very good at what they do. And they both have all kinds of opportunities afforded to them. So it's not like I wouldn't think they do this, you know, because they need the money or something. Like, Matt Damon can do whatever he wants, and Paul Greengrass is coming off
the Martian.
He just did The Martian.
$1 billion off The Martian.
He's up for an
Oscar nomination, yeah.
And Paul Greengrass, he just had Captain Phillips a couple years back. I mean, he's
the captain now.
Exactly. he got Barkhad Abdi some work finally in that upcoming drone movie. So I mean,
okay. I was wondering what happened to that guy.
I saw a trailer for Eye in the Sky with Helen Mirren. It's like, oh, Barkhad Abdi's still.
Oh, Barkhad Abdi, nice.
That's great for him.
Academy Award nominated Barkhad.
So I guess what I'm saying is I'd like to think they came back because they actually have a story they want to tell, and not just because, like, why not? Like, it just,
sure.
So, you know, it's not like they're coming off of disappointments, I guess, as opposed to something like Ben Stiller with Zoolander, where it's like, all right, maybe Walter Mitty didn't do as well as I think it should have, because I think it's a really fun movie.
I think it was okay.
But I think, you know, if that movie did really well, he kind of probably could have gone on to do something more interesting than Zoolander 2.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But here it's like, all right, Jason Bourne, cool.
The Secret Life of Walter Mitty 2?
Yeah, exactly.
He's actually married to Kristen Wiig.
Mitty Harder. All right, more trailers. A lot of stuff here. Let's see what else we have. We had an Independence Day trailer, another one.
It was pretty good.
It was
super
pretty good.
Patriotic.
I like the way that they mixed in the trailer with, I forget what. Oh man,
with the Super Bowl. It had like a giant stadium. It had like the planes flying over, and then it had a bunch of alien ships flying over.
Spaceships, right?
That was pretty clever. That was.
Everyone was like, "What is this?" It's like, "Oh no, it's Independence Day 2."
But this, I mean, yeah, this made plenty of sense given that it's Independence Day, which pretty much launched the whole, like, let's show a giant trailer in the Super Bowl. Like, that's what the first Independence Day did. Like, you didn't really have that before the first movie, so it makes sense to see another. You know, you have an Independence Day.
Poetry,
yeah. Seems pretty fitting to have an Independence Day trailer. That said, yeah, it looked fun. It looked like. I think we talked about this when we talked about the first trailer for Independence Day, but like, it's obviously, it's highlighting the fact that, like, hey, this is, there's alien stuff happening, and, you know, we don't have time for jokes, but I feel like this movie's gonna be fun. I mean,
they could have been at a barbecue.
Exactly.
Yeah.
it may lack a Will Smith, but Roland Emmerich, I mean, you look at his disaster movies, none of them are super serious. They're all pretty goofy.
Yeah. Doesn't John Cusack fly a limo?
We'll find out. Yeah, like 2012.
Yeah, the first Independence Day is so silly. Like, it's just, I mean, if the movie is silly on the same level at the same kind of action, yeah, that'll be exactly just fine
for sure.
So,
yeah. Let's see what else. Jungle Book had a trailer, which I wanted to point out.
Full length trailer, actually.
Well, they had a full length trailer, but the Super Bowl one they had was like, let's show how things pop out of the frame. Like, let's really emphasize that, because that's what that whole 30-second spot was of, like, things like to emphasize that it's in 3D. They're like, let's have it go off the frame.
That is true. I did notice that, which is pretty neat. And again, it's being directed by Iron Man director himself, yeah. Jon Favreau. So I'm curious about how it's going to go.
I'll say it looks just visually, it looks phenomenal. Like, the fact that, like, there's no animals in this movie, like, and you look at that trailer, that's impressive as hell. Like,
yeah.
CGI has come a very, very long way. It's pretty damn cool.
The voice cast is terrific.
It's a terrific voice cast. I think as long as people realize that it is a remake of the Jungle Book, that they should be expecting people to, or animals to talk in it, then
sure,
you should be.
Are people confused about that?
I think the first. I think that first trailer.
Thinking that Bill Murray is actually going to be in the movie.
I think that first trailer kind of set it up differently for people to be like, oh, do animals talk or not? Where it's like, I feel like it's pretty obvious that they're animals talking, but all right, but. Yeah. This one it had a more bouncy vibe to it, I guess. I mean,
did they not talk in the Jason Scott Lee movie? No, they didn't.
They're all
Columbus one. No, I don't think they did.
Okay.
Summers. Steve Summers. It was Steve Summers' movie.
Steve Summers, that was it. That wasn't Chris Columbus.
They're about the same.
But... Brother of Scott Summers.
same era. Yeah, same era.
Yeah.
let's see, what else we had? We had an X-Men trailer. Oh, we had Civil War. Yeah, we had Civil War.
That was Civil War.
Was a That was a good trailer.
That was an amazing trailer.
No, yeah, I mean, like, I was already on board with their first trailer.
Sure.
But I saw this and a little bit more footage, and it looked pretty good.
Yeah. I think this is easily one of my, it's easily one of my most anticipated movies of the year. And like Joe and Anthony Russo, like super crazy talented dudes, clearly. And every single buzz, all the buzz about it has been fantastic, just from test screenings. And yeah, I'm very, very stoked for that. That trailer was perfect.
It's the one that I'm like, I don't really need to worry about whether it's going to be good or not. I mean, it's like a how good it will be kind of thing. So it's like,
well, I was curious to see Vision, and I was like, oh, Vision's in this movie. That's great.
I you know me, I just want to see some Black Panther action. And you know, he's
that is true.
Yes. I like that, you know, as silly as hashtags can be, I like that it's like, here's all the hashtags for every single character in this movie.
Trending on Twitter right away.
Establish what team you're on. There's a really, there's a really cool shot of, was it Winter Soldier and Captain America, where they're like they're both like, he has like the shield, they're like on heavy defense.
Right.
Which I assume is like the
shields
scene,
in front of
in front of like Winter Soldier, and they're like it's just like, which I assume is the scene where they're like about to fight Iron Man, but it's like there's just, I really like that kind of the setup of like what is essentially Civil War.
I'm afraid of what's gonna happen.
We'll see. I'm pretty sure there will be some survivors given the slate of movies that are coming our way.
Yeah, but also I do think there are gonna be some deaths. I think that we are gonna see some significant characters go away after this movie.
Ant-Man.
Just in time for the sequel.
Just given the fact that he has a sequel coming up, probably not. But
he was there. He was in the lineup. So
he was in the lineup. Action. He was on Cap side.
Finally, get to see the Ant-Man Vision fight that I've been wanting to see for.
I just want to see Ant-Man hop onto one of Hawkeye's arrows and.
Oh, boom! There it is.
Yeah,
that's all I need to see. Now we're good.
We're talking about the Batman vs. Superman Turkish Airlines trailer.
Those were clever.
I was like, what's going on here?
I didn't see those.
Oh yeah, it was towards the end. It was like at the very end of the.
Yeah,
season.
they're doing Turkish Airlines. You know, a normal plane flying over a city, and the voiceover is
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck, and at the end, he's like, you know, come to Gotham.
Yeah, you realize it's a commercial for Gotham, because I knew Warner Brothers didn't buy commercial spots, but they had a clever way of doing it where they're like, let's have Ben Affleck advertise flying to Gotham City, and it was pretty it was well done. And the very end, it's like Batman Superman March 25th, like whatever, like it said.
Sure. I thought it was a pretty clever trailer.
Yeah, it was neat, and teaser. You know, and now we know to use Turkish Airlines, of course. Also, that's what
exactly everyone's still talking about. Gotham.
Let's see, we had X-Men, we had the X-Men Apocalypse trailer.
Meh.
With the big big Psylocke reveal. That was the big, like, the highlight of that thing.
The big moment, yeah.
Feeling mess on this one. I kind of agree, because I'm like, all right, yeah, there's more.
Well, I mean, I was kind of mad on the full-length trailer when we talked about it.
We kind of talked about it. Eric, you have thoughts on the X-Men?
It's kind of funny that now Deadpool has completely raised the stakes for that movie in kind of the worst way. The trailers for X-Men movies, I never feel like are ever that convincing. Like, I don't feel any of the trailers for Days of Future Past were really like, oh, wow, this movie's going to be fantastic. And I ended up really enjoying Days of Future Past. So I'm going to say, like, because there's obviously these trailers have the biggest problem with them just is the CGI does not look great. But that's obviously something that changes as the next, 3 months happen and that movie gets towards a release date. So I'm cautiously optimistic, I think is the best way to put it. Yeah.
True that.
I would say of the X-Men, I've had a lot of problems with X-Men advertising because I always hate the posters. They're always terrible.
Oh, posters, yeah.
I think that the best X-Men trailer I ever saw was the teaser for X-Men The Last Stand, of all things. There's the way that movie set up the whole Phoenix thing.
The teaser.
The way it set
I might
up
have to go check that out after the podcast.
The way it set up the Phoenix thing was like, this movie could be incredible. Obviously, we saw the X-Men The Last Stand, and it wasn't incredible, but it could have been. Stuff was there.
Potential once upon a
time. Last one we have here, 10 Cloverfield Lane, which actually we got two more, but 10 Cloverfield Lane. We talked about the trailer because it was pretty recent, but you know, we have more of a look at what's going on in this movie, and although we still have no idea of what's going on in this movie besides the fact that John Goodman speaks and he has an accent of sorts.
He locks Mary Elizabeth Winston in a bunker.
Yeah.
So
and there's something behind their house.
Right, exactly. Yeah, whatever that is.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to it. Like, I mean, I defend Cloverfield. I think it is a, like, especially in retrospect, it's an honestly really, really, really well-made monster movie.
I agree.
Not to mention just a great response to 9/11 in its own way. But and like and I hope this like I'm hoping this movie is a sequel. It seems to have just I mean I from everything I've seen from Dan Trachtenberg, the director, on a shorts level, I think he's a really talented guy. Obviously, the actors, the cast they have lined up is fantastic. I really hope that this movie is an actual sequel. I don't want it to be its own thing. Is that weird? How do you guys feel about that?
I would like it to be connected in some significant way. Not necessarily direct, but I'd still like it to be connected. But at the same time, I feel like it has to be, because a movie-going audience isn't like all of us who are on the internet scouring for things. So if they see the name Cloverfield first, and then they put 10 and Lane next to it, I feel like you'd be cheating the audience by having them think it's one thing and not showing that thing.
Sure.
Right.
Not necessarily, you know, directly.
They're going to pull Halloween 3 on us.
Yeah, exactly. But,
I will say I have heard, like, just, like, whispers and stuff that it what more the Cloverfield is more of kind of a brand. So it's, like... like just kind of small mystery projects coming out of Bad Robot or Cloverfield projects, as opposed to like. But again, I hope that's not
Which
the case.
I get that, but I feel like if you wanted to do that, it'd be more pronounced in doing that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. And honestly, they'd probably try and I guess it's a question of whether or not they would try and distance, because they're 100% fine with you thinking that it's a sequel, regardless of whether or not it is, because they'll probably get your ass in a theater. But
I mean, that works for an opening weekend, right?
Yeah, exactly. After that, it might be. Well, I guess if the movie's good enough, then you don't have to worry about it, I guess.
Very true. Yes.
But, yeah. I guess that's the defining factor.
Okay, there is one last one. There is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows trailer, where we got the Krang reveal, among other things.
Which actually looked pretty interesting. Everything else...
You know, I was, I think the
I know that you're big on it, or you were more positive on it.
I was the most positive on the first movie, which I think is tied, but I think I was the most positive on the trailer for this one, mainly because of using the use of Tricky in the trailer.
Yeah,
and
right.
This one's like, now we have DMC. This 30-second spot's like, now we have Beastie Boys, because everyone at Paramount loves the Beastie Boys, because that's all the trailers have Beastie Boys. Look at Star Trek.
He's not wrong. No.
Yeah. I was not a fan of the first movie.
Yeah, I'm not gonna go to bat for it. But at the same time, I don't think it's a monstrosity in the same way some people say.
But I think that I definitely think the sequel is making the right moves in terms of just make it more cartoony. I mean, obviously they're bringing in Bebop Rocksteady. They have Krang. I mean, they're bringing in Casey Jones. This is gonna be much more of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie that I kind of want to see, as opposed to what the first one was, which was. Just a disaster.
Well, now that they've also established they had their origin story in the first one, this one hopefully is just more of who they are as a team, brotherhood,
just
and
kind of get over the hump
fighting against the bad guys.
Yeah, totally.
But, you know, Raphael is crude but cool. So.
Right.
Michelangelo's a party, dude. Woohoo!
As long as we have that, we'll...
if they have a reboot of the Turtle cereal, that'll be top-notch.
Well, they'd have to.
Yeah.
Sure. But yeah, so that's all the trailers that we can talk about here. There's a lot of trailer stuff, but yeah, a lot of stuff to look forward to. But it's fun to see, like you know, watching the Super Bowl. It's like, all right, what's the next 30-second thing that's happening? Because
the game was great. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Yeah.
Let's move on now. Let's get to the main review here now for Deadpool.
And please don't make the super suit green or animated.
One thing that never survives this place is a sense of humor.
We'll see about that, Posh Spice.
Oh, come on. You gonna leave me all alone here with less angry Rosie O'Donnell?
Hey, yeah, I wanna shoot, baby.
Packed in your stack, especially in the back, brother. I wanna thank your mother for a butt like that.
That should have been some of the trailer for Deadpool. Deadpool's had a troubled start given the film we call X-Men Origins Wolverine. Following that mishandling, however, we were able to see some supposedly leaked test footage, which received enough response to build a full-length feature film out of. The result is a film director Tim Miller and the writers behind Zombieland can be proud to call worthy of the Deadpool name, as we have Ryan Reynolds starring as the titular character, who has a penchant for making fun of and annoying everybody. His antics are all a part of an origin revenge story where the Merc of a Mouth uses his newfound superpowers to cause mayhem and to those responsible for his disfigurement. Other silly antics ensue as well. Eric, what were your thoughts on Deadpool?
I love Deadpool. I will say, I should preface everything I say that I'm a huge Deadpool fan just from the comics. I've been many, many years. I've been looking forward to this film for a long, long time. I was one of the key people that was destroyed by the portrayal in X-Men Origins. So I've been looking forward to this movie for a very long time, and it honestly just satisfied every single thing that I wanted. It's an origin story that, like, it messes with the origin formula by going with its non-linear narrative. It's incredibly funny. The action is really, really top-notch. And, like, Tim Miller, as making his directorial debut, shows an incredible amount of skill. Obviously, he comes from a visual effects background. And it honestly, given the movie's low budget, it really kind of shines through. Like, this movie doesn't look cheap in any single way. It's just, it is very small-scaled. But everything about it, I just think really, really shines it. But in particular, it's the Ryan Reynolds show. It's he understands the wit and the speed and the humor of this character. The dialogue is just snappy and hilarious, and it moves so well. I know this is an entirely scrambled thought that I'm spilling out right now, but, I was very, very impressed with how this film turned out.
Abe?
I enjoyed it a lot, and I think the parts that I enjoyed the most were the sarcasm that they point toward the studios in that, you know, hey, this is a pretty large mansion. I wonder why there's only two of you always. stuff like that, where they're basically saying that this is a really large universe, and we understand that, so why don't we expand on it? And I enjoyed the aspects of the action sequences as well. I also enjoyed the backstory, the way that they interlaced his origins with the fact that they catch you up to speed with almost the third act by the time that it's done. And some people, I think, had maybe an issue with the length of the movie, thinking that it might have been a little bit longer. It's like, I was actually okay with the length of where it was and where it ended up.
People wish it was longer, people wish it was shorter?
I think people wish it was a little bit longer.
It is for, like, superhero movie these days, which are typically 2 hours. It is, like, shorter. It is, I think it's an hour 40 tight, something like that. So, yeah.
For the most part, it's a pretty, I don't know, game changer, maybe? I mean, I heard that term or that phrase being thrown around, and aside
by someone from
Dish
Network on the commercials that I saw things for.
Yeah, but aside from, like, blood on the screen and more cursing, I don't know if it's, like, a game changer per se, because Deadpool is this character. It's not as though, I mean, you couldn't have it any other way, but to show boobs and sex and blood and guts on the screen is not really a game changer per se, but for the Marvel Studios and maybe for 20th Century Fox, sure. But I don't know if it's necessarily something that I would say is like, wow, you know, now other superhero movies have to do that. And Game Changer is more of, wow, I didn't realize that they took such a super slight or dark tone with something, or wow, I've never seen it done this way before, whereas half 3D and then half 2D drawn.
To answer your question, Abe, no, it's not a game changer.
Brief thoughts like that.
You
hated it?
No, I'll say I did like the movie. I'll say I'm probably the least on it of the three of us, but I did like the movie. Now, my main issue is that I feel like this is a great setup for a possible game changer. That's Deadpool 2. I think the sequel has all the foundation to work with to be fantastic.
I won't disagree with you there.
My main issue with this movie, which I do like this movie, it's just that I was curious what, you know, based off what the trailers were showing me, if there was going to be more to it than what I was seeing. And I don't think I got much more than what I was seeing beyond, you know, more excess in terms of the gratuity, which is that there's not a slight to say it's gratuitous in terms of the kind of R-rated content, because that's what you expect in a Deadpool movie.
Right. Sure.
But with the movie itself, you know, I figured, okay, there's an origin. There's a big fight scene on a freeway, and there's a big fight scene on some, like, giant carrier or something, which is
it's a helicarrier,
which is a fun in joke right there. But that's pretty much it. Like, I got a very generic origin story for Deadpool. Like, that's basically what it amounts to. It tries to kind of defy that by splitting it up into parts and using it as a flashback structure to tell us the origin. But the origin to me was very boring, and if anything, kind of not goes against Deadpool, but just kind of it gives him a lot of pathos, and I understand where you have to do that in order to kind of get a mainstream audience to go along with your character. But I kind of know Deadpool as a more irreverent type of character that doesn't, like, he would make fun of the fact that we're seeing an origin story, and I don't feel like the movie even tried to parody that idea, that it is a fairly generic setup for a superhero movie.
But don't you feel as though they added in enough jokes in the backstory to make you feel as though he knew what he was doing?
No, okay, see, no, there's a difference
there.
There's a difference there. This is why I do think it's a fun movie, because it is entertaining. I don't deny mm-hmm. that. I do okay. think the movie's entertaining for that reason. But at the same time, I don't think it's... I think it's a little... It could... If the fourth wall breaking aspect of it, I think that could have been used in such a more clever way to really have fun with the fact that they're doing a very deliberate origin story. Like it seems like there's like the first 20 minutes set up a really fun movie. I think the first 20 minutes are amazing. That's like 5-star material right there. That's one of the best superhero movies you'll ever see. Between the credits, the way the action set up, the way Ryan Reynolds, who Abe, you know, I'm not a huge Ryan Reynolds fan, so the way the Ryan Reynolds.
Well, we both like Ryan Reynolds in his smaller movies.
We like his dramatic work more than his comedic work, but I certainly agree that this role he's born to play it. I have no doubt there. I think that in terms of his quippy nature, this is the best kind of use of that persona. It works.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, with that said, I can't deny the fact that I basically saw a movie about a guy who suffers a setback, has to get revenge. Obviously, yeah, there's only so much you can work with on a certain level.
Yeah, I was gonna say that.
Whatnot, but I mean, it's there are clever ways to do this kind of a story like this. Like even like the first Blade, I mean, it has a lot of fun with it. It's not even like an origin story. He's already Blade. Like he's sure. the origin of his character is just like, all right, here's a flashback showing like this pregnant mom dying in the hospital. Done.
And Batman 89 is similar in that way too, in that you don't really you just get kind of dropped into him being Batman. And it like, and I will say that is kind of something that is an issue with the larger comic book genre, I guess, is that we have gotten to a point where superheroes, we have so many of them that we do kind of need to differentiate them with origin stories. But at the same time, like, yeah, a lot of origin stories are kind of samey, and you don't necessarily, like, they're not as fun as they kind of necessarily used to be. And I will agree, like, that the origin story, like, that I'd say that's more of a problem with the genre in general. Because one thing that I will say about Deadpool, and I think you basically kind of pointed to this, which is Deadpool is kind of more of a character, like in itself, it's more of a character study. Like in movie itself has basically three sequences that you essentially mentioned. Essentially what you're doing is you're just kind of, as you're watching this film, understand the perspective of this character, as incredibly fucked up perspective as it is. And just between like the transformation from like the love story to the horror story to the action movie, and just in terms of just getting into this character's mind, that's really what I expected from it, and really just what I really dug about it.
I think also I don't really know what else they could have done per se. I mean, I definitely understand that they want to make it different, and it is different to a degree, but given the budget that it had, and given that we don't even really know, I guess.
Well, regardless of the budget, like, I mean, there's going to be a sequel, so they're going to have to do something
right.
like that.
I mean, I agree that there's not a whole lot here in this movie, right? So you're right. There's a highway scene, there's a flashback scene, and then there's the final ending scene.
Yeah.
Which is not a whole lot, given that this movie seems to plod through all of it. But you take that all away, and I think that it's more just on Deadpool himself. He himself as an individual character. Really fun guy, really strange guy, really foul mouth, but I don't really care so much about the story, because I wanted to just see what they were going to do with the character himself, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, yeah, and it's fine if you want to rest an entire movie on just the character. That's because that's what you expect. You're expecting to see Deadpool in a Deadpool movie. I get that.
And I guess because I'm not a huge fan of the origins, because even in Batman vs. Superman, they showed that scene with Jeffrey Dean Morgan. I'm like, why? We already know what happens with Bruce Wayne. We've seen it in like 50 of his movies.
Bruce Wayne's parents always need to die. It's a rule.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, in terms of the origins, I agree with you that they didn't really do anything clever with the origin except for show more sex and drinking. But, yeah, I don't really need to see an origin, because you kind of already know. I mean, if you don't know, then now you know.
It's that kind of balance where it's like, I get that, like, you need to, beyond just the people that are already going to see this movie, you have to sell who this person is to maybe those that aren't familiar. But at the same time, if the movie really wanted to, if it needs to have an origin story, then embrace how silly that is to have an origin story. And I feel like it could have done more with parodying that aspect.
I will say at the same time, I mean, like the origin story that we see in there is like, it's directly from the Joe Kelly comics. Like it is the Deadpool origin story. And in the fact, and if not just because X-Men Origins Wolverine screwed up the character so badly, it's kind of nice to have that kind of just honest and like legitimate adaptation of the character.
And so very like on the nose, on the screen viewing of, hey, you guys really messed this up last time.
Exactly, yes. Yeah. They're not shying away from it in any single way.
At the same, but I mean, but it feels
I kind of
like...
give a pass to Tim Miller, too. I mean, this is like one of his, this is his only
it's his directorial debut, yeah.
And it's not bad for somebody who has this type of weight to give to an audience.
From a directorial standpoint, I agree. I mean, it looks good for the money it has. The action, especially, again, at the beginning, is very good. But I do think the writers, was it Rhett Reese
and Paul Wernick, yeah.
Paul Wernick, they wrote Zombieland, which is another movie I have narrative problems with, where I feel like they know how to make the cheap shots work, where you can make some of the easier jokes happen, and I think Ryan Reynolds contributes a lot to that as well. Like, he's not dumb. He knows the character he's playing. He knows what he's has to make jokes about, which he's, and along with like T.J. Miller and some of the others, where they can kind of bounce along and have a lot of fun banter and one-liners or whatnot that come up on the spot.
Sure.
But I do think there's potential for like a stronger way to handle how to make fun of this, where I think when it gets into the origin stuff, where it gets into the like exactly why Deadpool became the way it is, the tone shift is very jarring, where it's very dark when you find out why his skin looks the way it is. Like he says it's a horror movie. There's no joke there. It actually seems like a horror movie.
Yeah, I see what you mean there, because when I'm thinking back on it, the whole entire scene where they're on the lab, there's not really a whole lot going on besides maybe one or two one-liners with Ryan Reynolds, but it is pretty...
No.
It looks like what the set that they use for X-Men... when Wolverine is in Project X sequence.
All that out of the way, it is fun. Like, there is fun to be had in this. I think the Colossus and, the Negasonic Teenage Warrior, like, those are great foils for Deadpool. Like, in Colossus especially, there's a lot of fun had with the way his character, like, the way they write his character. So he's this kind of very friendly Russian guy who wants to bring him back to the professor. Like, there's some really good stuff there.
Well, I just want to say, like, going back to the quick conversation about it being a game changer, I will agree that I don't think the game change is in necessarily the blood and guts and the R rating, which, by the way, I will say, it's going to be weird considering that this is a movie that has kind of been sold on part of that. I actually really appreciated the fact that Deadpool didn't go so, like, ridiculously over the top with its gratuity. Like, there are Deadpool Max comics where Deadpool is, like, eviscerating guys and then choking them with their own intestines, and it's not... fun. Like, it's not really what you're kind of going there for. Like, Deadpool is just supposed to be a cartoon character. I appreciate, like you do actually show blood and violence and the actual consequences of violence, which is very cool about it. But to circle back to what I was actually going to say, which is, I mean, if you look at a movie like Deadpool and also Guardians of the Galaxy, I think the game changer isn't the rating when you're looking at Deadpool. It's just the humor. Like,
it's the sardonic.
Yeah.
Making audiences laugh. Laugh and like knowing that you're gonna and putting that within a superhero context, that's what's going to draw people in. That's what people really need to be aiming for.
I mean, and also they sort of allude to it in the script, which is the part where Deadpool is basically saying, why do all these other superhero movies, why are they all so clean? You know, they're like, everyone's always a good guy kind of thing. And
right.
I agree that this movie is no real game changer. I just really appreciate the fact that he talked in a very humorous tone and made me laugh throughout the movie and said things that were crazy. Like, he's going to go find the main bad guy, shoot him in the head, and then... And I was waiting for that to happen at the end of the movie when Colossus is talking to him, and I was like, oh, I'm glad that they didn't do that.
Yeah, it's...
That'd be really over the top.
Again, going back to what I was saying earlier about not being too gratuitous.
Which is, right.
Now,
a good example.
So that's fair. I mean, the other thing, the movie doesn't have to be a game changer. I mean, that's the other thing that matters.
Well. Yeah, and I don't know why people were putting such high hopes on that, I guess.
I wouldn't either, but at the same, because I mean, if you want to, if speaking it to in terms of the attitude, I would, you know, obviously Guardians of the Galaxy would have done that first, or you could say that's the game changer of anything,
sure.
Or even the first, you know, there's been two Kick-Ass movies that have done that, or Sin City.
But we've also talked about, on the podcast, we've talked about Blade, and Blade 1 and Blade 2 were ostensibly quote-unquote game changers, because they didn't really go for some sort of comic booky tone. It was actually just almost like a serious vampire movie.
The first one is for sure. Two is more comic-y, I guess. But, I mean, the first one, you know, they came out before X-Men, that movie.
Yeah, 98.
And it was a good hit. I mean, that you know, X-Men and Spider-Man get a lot of credit, but Blade certainly deserves plenty of credit as well for being not only a superhero movie from Marvel, but an R-rated superhero movie starring a black lead character. I mean, that's, right. Which we haven't seen many of. So.
No, not yet. Yeah. This is true. Yeah. But I will also say, just going back to that game changer conversation, I think it's not necessarily a game changer in the sense, like, because what the comic book genre needs to survive is just variety. It needs to be making movies that are consistently different and that they don't all blur together. And that's what Deadpool is. It's a completely different flavor that we just have not seen yet. And it's refreshing. And like that, if you want to call that the game changer, if you want to say just like finding new ways to tell a comic book story, yeah, that I guess in a way it's a game changer. But do I expect every comic book movie from now on to be exactly like Deadpool? No, and I definitely hope it doesn't.
I hope not either.
Well, that's why I expect the sequel to do that for me in terms of being something that I really embrace, because now you've got this generic origin story out of the way. You still have this character that people like, sure. And you get to see him in a new environment where in a world where superhero sequels, for the most part, tend to be better than the original. I mean,
in a weird way, it is kind of strange how that conversation has shifted. It used to be that the sequel always used to be horrible and feel like a cash-in, but now it's like, no, now you get to, like,
now you have Dark Knight.
The character.
Batman Returns was pretty good, guys.
I think Batman Returns is better than Batman.
No, I remember I talked to Pete and Reed, the director of Ant-Man, a couple months ago, and like he was talking about how like having the Ant-Man origin story out of the way,
it opens it up to a whole different
It opens
right.
you up. Like, it allows you to just have these characters, you now know who they are, and you can take them in any single direction that you want.
Yeah, and that issue, that's like an add-on that we talked about during the Star Wars episode too, which is, yeah, you didn't necessarily, it might have been a shot-for-shot remake, but you need to establish who these characters are so that you can take them on a new approach.
Yeah, absolutely.
Deadpool, it's funny.
Right, no, exclamation point, not question mark, put that on, right?
And stay for the credits.
Absolutely, yes, very much so. Stay for, I guess, a lot of credits, because there is the extra little bonus on the end of the end as well. Yeah. So, yeah.
That said, a couple more things about this movie. The villains suck. I mean, I
agree, and I think that's kind of... I mean, when do we get... We've talked about this during, with all the Marvel Studios movies that they've had a hand in. It's like, when did they ever actually have a pretty good villain? You know, I remember we were talking about Guardians of the Galaxy, and we couldn't even remember what the villain's name was. We finally found out that it was Ronan the Destroyer.
Yeah,
he has a hammer and he's blue. He got it.
Yeah, blue or is he purple?
Whatever. He's an angry Smurf.
Yeah. It's actually Ronan the Accuser, not the Destroyer.
Drax the Destroyer. Yeah.
My bad. See, that's how bad
it drives over your point. Yeah. It only like makes it even.
Thor too. I mean, that was from one of the Doctor Who's, but I don't know who he was. He looked like an elf.
Yeah, no, like Malekith is. Yeah, he was easily the weakest of the bunch. And like there is. I can't even necessarily explain what the problem with comic book villains are these days, because you have the icons. Like, I mean, Joker obviously works on screen. Loki has turned out to be one hell of a thing. Spider-Man, obviously, for years, kind of actually did have but I guess what the problem is just some heroes have really good lineups of villains and some don't. That's kind of just the unfortunate trade-off.
But I agree with you, Aaron, that this villain is really poor.
Looking at the MCU, there's a lot of potential for each one of these villains. It's just a matter of writing them to be better. I mean, you can make plenty of bad superhero movies where even the hero isn't written that well to begin with. But I mean, it just seems like the writing's so devoted to the heroes, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that necessarily. It's just like you would desire to have more strength in the villains, and that's one place where I do think DC has succeeded, where they have villains that work quite well in their movies, aside from maybe Green Lantern and the Shit Cloud.
Suicide Squad should be interesting, if not just for that reason, because you're just basically delivering a truckload of villains to the DC universe.
Yeah.
You're just giving their own spotlight and then saying like, okay, go run around. Which, that'd be nice. Yeah.
It's kind of an interesting point you bring up there, because I'm thinking back to Man of Steel and... Yeah, General Zod. They spent a lot of time on General Zod with Michael Shannon. Yeah,
or just any of the Batman movies, but
definitely the Batman movies.
Loki too. Like Loki is a character who you spend a good amount of time with, and you kind of get his perspective and his relationship with Odin. That is really just
that's the one. Like that's the
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that's why I like that movie. Aaron and I were more positive on that than other people.
Yeah, it's just really, I mean, well, Hiddleston owns it in that movie. Like, he is everything in that film.
Well, Branagh's direction, just making it a family drama, which is pretty good.
Yeah. And it works. Like it I do like I think Thor: The Dark World is ultimately the weakest in the Marvel canon, but yeah, no, Marvel, I think Thor is in its origins, for, like in its beginning ages of the Marvel Studios universe, like I for what it is, I think it is a pretty impressive movie and a cool introduction to a cool character. So I give it a lot of credit.
I like the Thors. But back to this one.
Yeah.
I mean, Ed's, you know, the not transporter, Ed Skrein, as whatever, Ajax or Francis. It's just like, all right, he's English. That's his thing.
Yeah. No, like that's another thing. I would have liked to see kind of the results of the workshop. Like at the beginning, you do have that scene where he Ajax is like threatening a warlord after.
It seems like there's a lot of setup for like something that just never happens.
You never really get the full sense of exactly what the workshop is doing, and like the full, like he tells him he's a super slave, but there's no real sense of exactly how that's going to play out. But again, that is, I guess, part of just being a smaller movie.
Which is, it's fine. It's just more of like, all right, there was that guy. He had axes at some point. His name was Ajax. So, good job. And I guess this is by default Gina Carano's best role yet.
Oh, I like
her. You didn't like her in that one movie? Where
I like Haywire, but I mean, that's because you have a ton of great actors around her.
You're not wrong.
That is true. Channing Tatum gets his ass kicked by her.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
But yeah, I guess. And I on the visuals, I was actually a big fan of the way that they showed Colossus.
Yeah.
Tiny, but also just they took some care in that when he's got some rope around his neck, they took care to show that he's straining. It's straining. And I was like, oh, well, that's cool. That's
neat. Some neat details in the Colossus skin.
Yeah, I think a lot of that just goes back to Tim Miller's, like, I mean, he founded Blur Studios. Like, he has a huge professional. I mean, he was the guy who did the opening credits for Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Like, the guy, he knows CGI magic. I mean, hell, the test footage that we all saw, like, that fact that was completely CGI and convinced some people that it was live action, the guy knows what he's doing. Like, yeah, no, I thought Colossus was incredibly well rendered. All the effects in general, like, I mean, it's what I was saying before. It's just the movie, I mean, it may have been carrying a 50 million some odd budget, but it doesn't look like it is. It, like, when it decides that it wants to show that it's part of the X-Men universe, you really get that sense. And I'll give a lot of credit to that final scene. Like, Negasonic Teenage Warhead's powers are pretty damn cool, even if they are completely different than what we see in the comics. But, from a visual perspective, I think the movie is...
It stands really, up, really, and I think that's because it only goes to, like, four places, so it doesn't really have, like...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that really helps it out.
We revisit that bar of T.J. Miller a lot in this movie.
Yeah, despite that being an in-joke, it really helps it out.
Yes.
Yeah, like the mansion. You see the door, that's for sure.
Right, yeah.
You see the logo, and then you see the staircase, and you see Colossus. You hear Colossus. You don't even see him.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't actually come out, right? Yeah.
Is that Wade?
All right. So if that out of the way, let's.
Where would you rate it? Or where would you tell me?
Oh, yeah. Where would you go? Where would you say see Deadpool? Where would you people?
I tell people to see it in theaters.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely in theaters. Yeah, big screen possible.
Yeah, I could say in theaters. That's for sure. Yeah. Again, I'm the most negative about it, but I'm still.
That's just a sign. Like,
not really negative. I mean, you brought a good point.
Well, it's not about it because it's not like I'm tired of this character or tired of these movies. It's more of like there's a lot of potential.
I think Deadpool 2, like the potential that Deadpool 2 has is astronomical. It should be a ton of fun. And I mean, there's also been some news about a particular character who, for spoiler reasons, I won't say who's going to be in it, but it's very, very exciting. So
I think you can probably, you know, if you know the character, you can piece together. So, and you know what studio has what rights, you can piece together who would be in a sequel for Deadpool.
Exactly. Yeah. It's okay. But yeah, it should be very, very cool. I'm very, very excited for it.
All right, let's move on now. Let's get to our sponsor real quick. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Why Audible? Audible content includes more than 180,000 audiobooks and any other similar programs for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or any kind of MP3 device. Additionally, Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook download of your choice with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast, choose a book to download for free, and start listening. It's just that easy. audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast. Get a book. Check out the service. If you don't like the service, you can get rid of it, but you get to keep that book they own for free.
You can also read and listen to a book that's 300 pages long in like 2 hours.
There you go.
Maybe eight.
Audibletrial.com.
Such a podcast.
All right. Let's get to some feedback here.
Feedback.
is where we go over our various questions and answers on our Facebook page, facebook.com/outnowpodcast, where we have a number of questions we asked, and the listeners, you were very kind to provide us with various responses. Eric, feel free to jump in anytime you want here. Sure. So I'm going to start this one off. Favorite Ryan Reynolds performance? David writes, haters gonna hate here, but Hal Jordan in Green Lantern.
Wow, David.
Woo! No.
Jason writes, Deadpool and his character in The Voices.
Yes.
Which is streaming, I haven't seen it.
The Voices is great. Yeah, I like that was, and like, and if you want to also just in terms of, I know you guys were talking earlier about kind of smaller, more dramatic Ryan Reynolds performances. That's a great one. Yep. Like, yeah, he's really, really good in that.
Maxwell writes, Adventureland, Buried, and now Deadpool. I'm quite a fan of Adventureland.
Yeah.
There's a little shout out in Deadpool too. So yep. Kind of nice.
Callie writes, The Proposal and The Amityville Horror. Manish writes, I liked him in Definitely Maybe. Adam and Justin both write Van Wilder.
Yeah.
And Joe writes, Just Friends and Buried.
Just Friends. A nice, is it All for One song? Yeah. Next question we asked everybody, what's your favorite R-rated comic book movie? And there are lots of them that you can choose from. Manish has Ghost World and V for Vendetta. Okay. Taylor has, it's hard to pick between V for Vendetta and Watchmen.
Watchmen is probably what I would say. I will defend the hell out of Watchmen. I think that is a truly, truly impressive film.
I feel and as though you could put the tagline Game Changer on Watchmen more than you could for Deadpool.
That's fair.
I mean, the book kind of established the game change. And since
that's fair.
It's a carbon copy.
It's almost like a shot for shot. Yeah, it's almost like a shot for shot remake of the comic book.
But yeah, I really love the first half of Watchmen, and I like the second half of Watchmen.
Yeah.
That's fair. It's a whole other argument. But there are certain things that in the third act that they don't do right. They do wrong, but I also think they even
for the right reasons.
Certain circumstances, they even do better than Alan Moore. But yeah, I think that's a larger conversation.
But no, I do defend it though. I agree with you. I'm on the pro Watchmen camp for sure, mainly because I just love the book so much. It's like, what they made them. This movie is impossible to make, and they did it. Okay.
See, that's exactly it. Like the fact that they actually made it is pretty damn impressive just by itself. So kudos.
This is true. Maxwell has Road to Perdition.
Yeah.
Joe Jan says Kick-Ass. Philip has Road to Perdition as well. Adam has V for Vendetta. David has Sin City. Was that rated R?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. That's my choice, by the way.
Super R. Yeah, I dig Sin City. Yeah. Did not dig Sin City 2. But...
Not as much, no.
And Justin has Kick-Ass. There you go.
I like Kick-Ass.
Let's see. X-Men villain you want to see most on the big screen. Adam writes Mr. Sinister or the Shadow King.
Mr. Sinister. Yep.
David writes Mr. Sinister and Sauron. That makes sense if you know Mr. Sinister, I guess. Justin writes Dark Phoenix.
Nobody wrote Omega Red.
Well, who knows what's going on in this Wolverine movie? Maybe there will be
Omega Red. Yeah, exactly. Very true.
I mean, given that they've kind of retconned the X-Men universe, much to my chagrin, they could probably do the Phoenix again and maybe try to do it better.
No, I even think that Simon Kinberg, who's producer and writer on the movies, like I think that he's even said that there's still the complete that Dark Phoenix is still fair game. Like now that the timeline is reset,
I mean, they teased it for such a long time too. I mean, they sort of showed it in X-Men 3, but that was a terrible way of doing it. So.
That movie's almost 10 years old, so I mean, it seems like it's
already.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, my kids are 10. No, I don't have kids. Next question: favorite comic relief character from superhero movies? Jason has Michael Pena from Ant-Man, and Chris Evans, Johnny Storm from Fantastic Four, and for TV, Cisco from the Flash TV show. Manish has both Chris's were pretty funny in The Avengers. Joe Jan says Dr. Manhattan in Watchmen. The blue dog was hilarious. Thanks, Joe. David has Wayne Knight in Punisher Warzone as Microchip.
Yeah.
And
was he funny in that movie? I don't even remember.
I don't know.
That movie's ridiculous. I don't know if he's...
I don't remember him being the source of comedy in that movie.
Yeah.
Comic relief? Not even Wayne Knight? Newman?
That's why it's funny to say, because obviously, you know, you hire Wayne Knight to be comic relief, but I don't remember him saying jokes in that film.
Was he more Jurassic Park, where he was a really just annoying computer programmer?
I remember McNulty making a lot of jokes as Jigsaw in Punisher Warzone.
I dig that movie.
And Looney Bin Jim. Oh, yeah. That movie is that movie's wild when it comes to R-rated superhero movies.
Yeah.
And lastly, Justin has just Mr. Freeze count. I mean, he was pretty comical. Commando meets scientist.
Yeah.
I would say, sure. He's got terrible puns, but, you know, okay.
The only way to watch that movie is to laugh at it, so yeah, why not?
What movie characters do you want to see get a second chance? Manish writes, I like the idea of Green Lantern, even though the movie was bad.
I wouldn't mind seeing a good rendition.
Of course we want to see a good Green Lantern.
I liked Mark Strong in that movie.
Yeah?
Yeah, even if that ending made zero sense.
Like, by the way, evil now. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
To be continued. Never mind. Jason writes, The Punisher, Fantastic Four, and Mr. Freeze. Justin
we're getting Punisher back, though. I mean, in the Daredevil.
Yeah, we'll get, yeah.
Yeah.
He knows
Shame, man.
Justin writes, Jason took my Mr. Freeze, maybe LXG the whole movie. Yes. Oh my god. Yeah. A good League of Extraordinary Gentlemen movie would be pretty terrific.
Didn't like Sean Connery's version?
No. He quit acting because of that.
It was that bad.
You know what movie didn't make him quit acting? The Avengers. That Ray Fiennes Uma Thurman.
That really launched Uma Thurman's career, though.
That movie's awful. It. That movie's terrible, but you know what?
Also, Ray Fiennes went away for a while too.
And know what movie did end Sean Connery's acting career? LXG. So there.
Bad memories. Last question we asked everybody: are there any cult comedies you'd like to see a sequel from? Justin has Office Space because the movie used to be my life as a corporate stooge. Watching the movie was like watching my life back in the day. Word, Justin. Jordan has Dodgeball. 3! Justin has Jason. I'm sorry. Has The Mask. Didn't they already have The Mask Baby? And
yeah, Son of the Mask.
Comments, Jason is sure to write, that never happened.
All right. And last of Manisha says, I don't think cult comedies should get sequels, especially long after the first one. It's hard to recreate the magic, especially if you're actually trying to do it. It's not organic, but seems manufactured. And that is a great answer.
I think that person saw Zoolander too.
All right, now we have some questions here. We have one question so we can answer. Justin writes, with all the comic book movie releases, do you think it's too much, or are they moving in the right direction? I wouldn't say it's too much, given look how successful Deadpool was this week.
Yeah, right.
I mean, just like how successful Marvel has been, but we talked about that just on this episode, which is, if you vary it up enough, I think people will be fine with it.
Exactly. Like, I mean, the reason, like, people point to the Western as, like, an example of eventually dying out. And, like, that's because eventually we were getting, like, 60 Westerns a year because they were so cheap to make. And also most of them were kind of the same. That's not what comic book movies are. Like, comic book movies can be absolutely anything. And as long as you keep doing that, then, yeah, I think they can live on forever.
Exactly. I mean, it's all about variety and not making the same thing over and over again, which is really clearly broken out of at this point, especially when you have this kind of established universe where you can kind of delve into different stories involving different characters or mixing up those characters or whatnot. It's, you know, there's lots of potential out there.
Yeah.
All right. That's enough feedback.
Feedback.
Now let's get to, Abe, what time is it, Abe?
I think it might be time for some games, Aaron. I think that's actually the song that Ryan Reynolds plays at the bar.
Yeah, he's going to give it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a game this week.
I'm excited.
It's called Who Broke That Wall?
Oh, interesting.
This is a game that revolves around characters that break the fourth wall in movies. And so basically I'm going to read quotes from a number of movies here, and you have to guess what movie this is a quote from.
Interesting. All right.
So, Eric, how we do this is you buzz in with your name, and then you suggest a guess. You can cut me off whenever. Don't wait for you to have to read the whole thing out if you figure it out. It's very much a who's the fastest to figure this out kind of thing.
Sure.
All right. So this first one's going to be pretty easy, just so you get an idea of what I'm doing.
Okay.
Here we go. Here it is. This will be more of a race of who can say their name first.
Deadpool.
It must be some sort of hot tub time machine.
Eric.
I think I heard.
It's in hot tub time machine.
I think I heard Eric.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the first one. Okay.
All right.
That's the easy one. I don't know why it was so easy, but we'll go. Okay. Here's one. Incredible. One of the worst performances of my career, and they never doubted it for a second.
A fourth wall breaking. Can you repeat the question?
One of my worst performances of my entire career, and they never doubted it for a second. It's only movies.
Okay. Abe.
Yeah?
Fight Club?
Nope.
Hmm.
I'm going to give you a hint. Clammy Hands.
Clammy Hands? Who mentions that? Because I'm trying to think of Flop Sweat and Clammy Hands at the same time. I don't know.
I'm going to give you another hint.
Yeah. Okay.
Lick Your Palms.
Lick Your Palms?
Wait, hold on. This is coming to me. I know this. Jesus.
Hey, Blair Lair.
Nope.
No. Yeah, I don't think he breaks any fourth wall in the movie.
Oh, this is going to kill me. When you say it, it's just going to destroy me.
Okay, the answer is Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Damn it! Why?
Exactly. That should be the thing we should have.
That's what a lot of people didn't understand that my viewing. So I was like, oh, they should go back and watch this movie.
Here's the next one. Looked dead, didn't I? But I wasn't. But it wasn't from lack of trying.
Oh, Eric, Sunset Boulevard.
Nope.
Really?
Wasn't from lack of trying. I can tell you that. Actually, Bill's last bullet put me in a coma. A coma I was lying for 4 years.
Kill Bill. The Bride.
Damn it.
Which Kill Bill?
Kill Bill Volume 1. No? Oh, no!
Eric, Volume 2.
See if I finish
the opening when she's trying.
The last sentence is: I went on what the movie advertisements referred to as a roaring rampage of revenge.
Because that's when she's driving in the first, or she's driving in the second movie.
Hey, I'm gonna give it to you just to get you on the board here, because you did say Kill Bill. You did identify the movie.
Well, you're on thin ice. Give it to Eric because Eric got the volume.
He
too.
Guessed already. That's
oh whatever. Yeah, no, I completely screwed up.
Here we go.
All right.
Basically, you're all tied.
Okay.
It's almost like neither of you got anything so far. Okay. What was first, the music or the misery? People worry about kids playing with guns
and
watching.
High
Fidelity is the.
Woo!
Nice. Smoking.
I've watched that movie about 30,000 times. It's only fair that
only?
I Here's the last sentence, by the way. Did I listen to pop music because I was miserable, or was I miserable because I listened to pop music?
I think it's the latter.
I just want to say that sentence. Okay, here we go. He fits right in there, and that's the dude in Los Angeles. And if there's ever a lazy man,
The Big Lebowski.
The Big Lebowski is the great. Los Angeles.
I feel bad cutting you off because I almost feel like you should give the audience like the entire quote.
But you know the answer. Otherwise, I would guess it.
Right, yeah.
Incorrectly, I guess.
Here we go. You're not your job. You're not how much money you have in the bank. You're not the car you drive.
Fight Club.
Fight Club is the correct answer.
Damn it!
I thought you were on top of that one.
I was like, I think this is Fight Club.
Yeah.
Here's the next one. Anyway, by now you may wonder how I wound up here. Or maybe not. Maybe you wonder how Silly Putty picks up shit from comic books. The point is, I don't see another narrator here, so pipe down.
Eric. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is the correct answer.
Woo! Smoking me out, dude.
This one might be a little obscure.
Is it worth 500 points?
Well, if you get it, sure. This never happened to the other fellow.
Wow, that was the end of the quote?
Hmm.
Hmm. This never happened to the other fellow. Fourth wall breaking.
I think I know the character. I'm not sure if I know if it's real, though.
What do you think the character is?
Is it James Bond?
It is James Bond.
That's what I thought. I can't name the movie, though.
I don't know.
It's on Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Ah, damn it. Okay.
George Lazenby comes in.
I was going to guess James Bond, The Hunt for Red October. So.
Here we go.
Would have been wrong.
Here's the ultimate fourth wall break right here. What the hell am I looking at? When does this happen in the movie? Now. You're looking at now, sir. Everything that happens now is happening now. What happened to then? We passed then. When? Just now. We're at now. Go back to then. When? Now. Now? Now. I can't. Why? We missed it. When? Just now. When will then be now? Soon.
It's Eric Spaceballs. I didn't want to cut you off. I just wanted to hear that entire thing.
Yes, it is Spaceballs. Eric, you ran away with this game.
I know my fourth wall breaking. I love it. I'm still upset about that Ferris Bueller one. So, yeah.
That's how you play Who Broke the Wall.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Good
game.
All right. Let's move on now. Let's get to Out Now Presents It's Out Now. These movies that are coming out on Blu-ray or DVD this week, and there's some stuff here. First up, we have Steve Jobs, which I believe, Abe, your number one movie of last year, so I think you recommend it.
Well, it's my favorite, yay.
I certainly recommend it as well. It was on my top 10 list. Yeah. Absolutely. Next up, we have Black Mass.
You don't have to see it right away.
I wasn't.
Yeah, it's not a rush. I mean, Johnny Depp's great, but you watch The Departed again instead.
There you go.
Yeah, actually.
Next up, we have Trumbo.
I heard that it was okay.
There's some good performances in there.
Okay.
It's fine. I feel like very recently we've been seeing a lot of biopics that are just like, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened, and that's exactly what the movie is. And it's just, I feel like the story of Trumbo is more interesting than the movie than that was
so
made
about
him.
So you're saying it's exactly like Black Mass?
Yeah.
And then this happened.
Exactly. That's a very good way of putting it.
That was the problem that I had with it when we were talking about it.
Yeah, it's fine. It's just
too linear.
Special. Yeah, exactly.
Next up, we have The 33.
You know, it's like, I didn't hate it. It certainly is for like a family audience.
Yeah, that's fair. Let's see. Then we have Girls Season 4 for any HBO fans that watch Girls.
That, is that the end of this the run? Or they
No, there's the this. There's like I think there's like two more seasons. I mean, there's a season coming up now.
Is it worth watching?
Kind of. It seems to depend on the viewer. Seems,
okay.
Yeah. I watched the first season and it wasn't for me. So I'll just end it there.
Cool.
Let's see. Next up, we have a couple of classics coming out. We have The Kid, Charlie Chaplin's The Kid, the Criterion Collection release.
Not the Bruce Willis The Kid?
Yeah, I was like, yeah, Disney's not, The Kid?
If it was,
which is not bad.
If it was Bruce Willis's, I would say Disney's The Kid, because that's what it's called.
Yeah, to throw in Disney's The Kid.
Disney's The Kid.
Because Disney was worried that people would be confused if it was a Charlie
Chaplin.
There are
two Disney movies that I really enjoy, one of them being The Kid. I mean, I enjoy a lot of them, but also 17 Again.
I was going to say, you only enjoy those two.
I don't think 17 Again is Disney. I don't think 17 Again is a Disney movie.
It's not? Oh, okay.
I don't
believe Zac Efron's pretty good in it as a father.
I got to check this. I don't think it's a Disney movie.
Because I thought he was in a contract with Disney at that time.
No, it's New Line. Yeah, it's a New Line movie.
Oh, okay. Well, Matthew Perry's not good in it, but Zac Efron. All right.
And let's see. Lastly, The Big Heat. It's a classic film noir from director Fritz Lang. Very good film.
Okay.
All right. That's what's out now. Presents what's out now. Moving on here, extremely cool. These are movies that are coming out that are now on streaming on Netflix. And one movie came out this week that Abe and I have been big champions of.
Is
Dope.
It what I think you're gonna say?
It's Dope.
Yes.
Ah, yes. I love Dope. That's
Dope really streaming cool. on Netflix.
Dope is now streaming on Netflix. So if you haven't already had a chance to see it, it's become even easier to do so. Indeed. I think it's only like $5, by the way, on Amazon. By the way, for the Blu-ray, but yeah.
I'll just, gallery just saying. There. That's a great. That's a really fun movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also I saw coming back this week on Wednesday drops on Netflix. The Returned season 2. The Returned is a show that's been remade a couple times at this point by ABC and others, but it's a French television series about basically a lot of dead loved ones come back to life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's.
Wait, what's the one with Noah Wyle?
Oh, it's the sci-fi show Falling Skies.
Yeah. Oh, okay,
that's way different. Yeah,
No, all these like V or whatever too, and I don't know. There's all these weird TV shows about.
Those are sci-fi shows.
Space
yeah.
coming through. Okay.
Well, this one.
But this one's not sci-fi. This one's
this one's more supernatural, I guess.
Thriller.
Okay. Well, it's less thriller. It's more of just a contemplation of life type thing. This French series, The Returned, which the first season's on Netflix already. This has a second season, which I'm excited to catch up with because I really was intrigued by what the first season had to offer. But it's quite good. So I'd certainly recommend that, The Returned. It's if you like something like Lost, I guess, that style of show, there's a lot of stuff like that in there.
Good to know.
In French.
so you can feel, superior.
Let's see. So that's extremely cool. Next week's show. Next week, I'm not sure yet. We have Race coming out, Abe. So I know that's an option.
It's not a bad one.
But it's not a huge week compared to, the past couple weeks here and
Race the Witch.
Joy Deadpool winning its second weekend in a row.
Yeah, as far as the box office was concerned.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see. We'll figure it out. Yeah, obviously we'll get to more Oscar talk as well. Maybe we'll do an Oscar show next week to kind of anticipate what's
up. Tuxedos.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So the last thing we do here is what should people go see now and what do you plan to see next? So, Eric, what should people go and see in theaters right now?
That is an interesting question. Well, Deadpool is certainly at the top of my list. I'll also add Hail Caesar onto that list because I'm a huge Coen Brothers fan. I'm sure you guys talked about it endlessly last week.
Yes, we did.
But it's, I mean... I feel it's not necessarily one of the Coen's strongest films, but it is incredibly funny. I think Alden Ehrenreich creates one of the best one of the Coen brothers characters that we will be remembering for a long, 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 long time.
Definitely.
And also the Coen brothers movies are movies that or Coen brothers comedies specifically are movies that only get better on repeat viewings and age incredibly, incredibly well. If you've even already seen Hail Caesar, I recommend seeing it again. So.
Yeah. And
what do you plan to see next?
What do I plan to see next? Yikes.
Gods of Egypt.
Yeah, right?
Probably.
I'm looking forward to 999. The Eagle is another one that I've been hearing really, really good things about, kind of from a Cool Runnings Mighty Ducks perspective. So, yeah, that's definitely on my radar.
Abe?
I definitely recommend Deadpool as well, but if not, then go see Kung Fu Panda 3. It's a good family movie as well.
Like that as well?
And what I'm going to see next? Probably Race.
Okay. Hail Caesar was mine for what people should go see. Hail Caesar, you know, if you haven't seen any of the Oscar nominees by now, it's a good time to catch up on those.
Sure.
And I am seeing Race next. That is the film that's next on my on the docket for
me. Are you going to wear your sneakers?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Run around the theater a little bit?
Yeah, get a jog in before it starts. With that said, that's going to do it for this week's episode of Out Now with Aaron and Abe. You can find more of my work on my personal blog, DakotaZeke.com. You can find all my written movie reviews there, as well as on Why So Blue for Blu-ray reviews. And you can follow me on Twitter at Aaron's PS4. Abe?
You can find all the news at news.google.com. And you can also follow me at twitter.com/WalrusMoose. Hashtag 17 again.
Eric Eisenberg.
You can find all my work over on CinemaBlend. You can find me on Twitter at E. Eisenberg. And every week, every Thursday specifically, I do a superhero-centric podcast called Hero Blend that you can all wonderfully enjoy.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You can find all the other episodes of Out Now Out There and Abe on iTunes, Audioboom, and at Stitcher.
Listen to us over at Podomatic, HSWLOD, and SoundCloud.
You can email us your thoughts on Deadpool or anything else we've talked about this week over at outnowpodcast@gmail.com.
Interact with us over at facebook.com/outnowpodcast or tweet at us at twitter.com/outnow_podcast.
And we have a Tumblr page that gets used sometimes, outnowpodcast.tumblr.com. Eric, thank you for joining us this week.
Thanks, Eric.
Yeah, this was a ton of fun. I'm glad you guys had me. I'm glad we actually did this.
You destroyed me in games.
Yeah,
not forget.
As listeners know, when the guests, you know, win at games, that means they get to come back to the show at some point. So you've got obviously you fit that criteria. So
I'm happy to come back. Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's it for this week. Until next time, when we figure out what we're going to talk about, that's going to do it. So long
and goodbye.
They call me Deadpool, I'm hella fast. Came to mark the bad guys and get some ass. Got blades for days, got guns galore. Got combo moves, evades and more. With bear traps and hand grenades. Pull the pistol like a maniac right in your face. Popping off caps, leave a trail of guts. Sitting on my chair, scratching my nuts. Don't stop when I shoot, full auto is on. Your ass is grass and I'm mowing the lawn. Hot lead to the head and I won't stop. What your crew gonna do when I hack and chop? All these bitches are prima donnas. I stuff my face with chimichangas. Tacos and beers, always keeping it loose. Hang on for a minute while I'm dropping a deuce.
You look like an avocado fucked an older avocado.
X gonna give it to you.
You look like a Freddy Krueger and a topical graphical map of Utah. That's my TJ Miller.
It's pretty good.
Not bad.
A little slow. Maybe speed it up a bit, but you got.
Oh,
he
goes a little bit faster.
A little faster, but you got the cadence down pretty well. So.
Yeah. Right.
All right. Okay.